Are you fundamentally an optimist or fundamentally a pessimist? Do you tend to see the glass as half full or half empty? John the Baptist seems to be a bit of both an optimist and the pessimist. For myself, I don't think so much in those terms. I'm basically a worrier. So my worry is the glass is going to tip over and whatever amount of water is in it is going to spill out. I tend to look ahead and think about all of the bad things that could happen. And when I look, for example, in our own age, in our own time, I can look forward and have lots of anxieties about our own society. Maybe you share some of those. There's the worry about global warming and global trade war. There's the worry about the gun violence in our society and the anger and hatred in our national political discourse. And all those things I feel anxious about and I worry about, and I think, you know, we're going in the wrong direction, bad things are coming. And I think in some ways, I'm not alone, that there are lots of us who have those kinds of anxiety about our own society and our own age. Well, John the Baptist came along at a time in his society when people were experiencing not the same anxieties, but also a lot of anxiety. When the Jewish people were looking ahead and saying, there's disaster on the horizon, bad things are coming, things are getting worse, and we don't see how things are ever going to get better. And the interesting thing about John the Baptist is he doesn't try to reassure people and say, oh, don't worry about it, everything's going to be fine. He says, no, you're right, disaster is coming. You better get ready for it. We don't hear that so much in this gospel, but if you continue in the next part of Luke's gospel, you get the, you know, the you brood of vipers. So John, in a sense, is playing on people's anxieties, and he wants to use that anxiety and fear about what's about the future to say to people, okay, now is the time to do something about that, to take action, to reform your own lives. He's calling people to repentance and to come closer to God, to say, okay, now is the time to get right with God, to come back to God's path. Because the other part of his message is a message of hope. That's what we hear in the gospel lesson this morning. This vision, which is so typical of the prophets, God is going to bring salvation to God's people. God is going to redeem God's people. And there's this glorious future somewhere, someplace, sometime, we don't know when, that lies ahead of us. And that's the vision that is so beautifully laid out in the prophet Baruch this morning, the Old Testament lesson. Again, this kind of glorious vision of God is going to bring all of God's children home. We will find redemption. We will find salvation. So that looking at disaster ahead and yet still finding hope, that's the balance. That's the balance in John as a prophet and really in all the prophets. And in some ways, I think that's kind of essential to our spiritual lives and our relationship with God. We're always kind of on this knife edge where we can look ahead and say, things are bad, there's disaster ahead, there's all these things to worry about, and yet we can also say, and yet somehow there's hope. I'm not sure how, I'm not sure when, but somehow there's hope. I had something of that experience personally this last week. I was up in Seattle helping an aging relative move. And this is someone who is on the path of physical and cognitive decline, which I know is familiar to some of you in terms of your own family, your own friends, and it's a bleak kind of outlook to have. Because you know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you know it's not going to end well. That there's no kind of bright light at the end, that it's going to be a continual path of decline, and that's so challenging and so hard because you feel like there's nothing you can do. And yet in this past week, there were moments of hope, moments of light, and they came really for me in my own experience, and they're just small moments in interactions with other people, moments of some small moments of humor and of encouragement and support, moments of the experience of kindness and compassion, that gave me hope. It was like going out in a dark night this time of year and looking up in the sky and seeing a few bright stars shining as signs of hope, as signs of God's presence. And it was enough to sustain me, even knowing the difficult path that lies ahead. It was enough to sustain me and to reassure me that God is still with me. So I feel like Advent is really a time like that, when we are experiencing darkness, experiencing fear maybe and anxiety about lots of different things. And yet this is also a time when we can be aware of what the late President Bush called points of light. Remember his 1,000 points of light? And it was all about the people around us in their small acts of goodness and generosity and kindness who are pointing the way forward. So that's what we can do in this season, I think, in this dark, occasionally dark, often dark season. We can look for those points of light, those points of hope in the people around us and experience those. And we too can make our effort to be points of light, points of hope for other people. We can do that in the acts of kindness that we share with others. We become lights to them in the acts of grace, in the acts of good humor and of perseverance. We become the light in the darkness that lights us forward and gives us hope and confidence in the redemption and salvation that God is going to bring for all of us. Amen.